Thank you, worship team. So excited to be here on the first Sunday of the new year, 2018. Preachers always say, well, you know, it's going to be the best year ever, the best year yet. We're starting a new series today, and of course, it's going to be the best series ever. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be, a series that's tough and that God's been working on in my life. I'm calling the series, simply just calling it Renovate. Renovate. And let me just ask a question. How many of you have ever done a big renovation project? You've done, you've had a big renovation project. Yeah. Kim and I bought an old house. Our house was built in 1925, somewhere between 24 and 26. We say 1925. And when we first bought it, we had to spend several months before we could move in renovating it. We tore out walls and floors and rewired and then tore down wallpaper and painted, and it was difficult and it was hard, it was frustrating. We kicked cans of paint over in the middle of the floor and then had to redo that whole floor. So, I mean, it was tough, but when it began to come together, just what we dreamed it could be began to kind of happen right there before our eyes, and we just love our old house. Of course, if you have an old house, the renovation project is ongoing forever and ever, right? I've discovered that over the last 15 years, right? But I think it's why we love all those shows on TV, on the DIY network and the Home and Garden Network. Home Shopping, whoo, that goes way back, right? HGTV, and it's because they take something that's old and that's maybe messed up, and they just transform it right before our eyes, right? And the old is gone, and the new is gone. And you go, wow, right? And I know we love it because there are like 1,000 of those shows. There's, I don't know which is your favorite, Flip or Flop, or Love It or List It or Property Brothers, right? It could be Property Brothers. It could be Home Crashers. And then they got one of these for everything. They got house crashers, kitchen crashers, bath crashers, yard crashers. I love yard crashers because I love landscape and transforming and renovating the yard, even though I don't do it. But of course, our favorite, everybody's favorite, is Chip and Joanna Gaines with what? Fixer Upper. Yeah, we're even clapping for them, right? We are making them so much money. It's just amazing. And they just kind of pull the sign back or the picture back. Are you ready to see your fixer-upper? And he goes, wow! Everybody goes, and it's amazing. It's amazing. And then I just began to, as I've been walking through that building over the last several months and just praying over what God's going to, the renovation project that's going to take place over there, and just seeing that in my mind's eye of what God can do in that space and how He's going to continue to use that to give us more opportunity to grow people up in their relationship with Jesus Christ of all ages. And, a few months ago I was walking through there and just praying and kind of visualizing all that and praying to God, and God just kind of began to whisper into my heart a little bit and say, Monty, before we get so excited about this renovation project, I want to make sure and I want to do a renovation project in your own heart. They began to kind of speak into me, into my own heart, into my own relationship with Him, and I began to realize that there was still some renovating that He needed to do in mine and probably some renovation that He needs to do in your hearts as well. And so this series is all about that. How do we prepare ourselves to allow God to come in and begin to renovate some areas in our life that we know that we need to have change in, that we know that that it's old stuff that is not pleasing to God, and that He needs to kind of get out of there and rip out of there and demo out of there so that He can bring His newness, His purpose for our lives. God wants to renovate our hearts. And so this series today, the title of the message is Refocusing My Priorities, and then next week, Reordering My Thoughts, Repurposing My Life, and then Restoring My Relationships. And so I want to encourage you to be here for these next 4 Sundays and allow God to begin to speak into your hearts and maybe begin to be willing to open up and say, okay, God, where are some areas in my life, in my relationships that I need to have your renovation go on? I need your transformation work, and what are those areas? And listen, it's not easy, right? It's not easy, whether it's a building project or whether it's a renovation of our own hearts and souls. It's not easy. But we have to get to that place where we acknowledge that we need that in our lives and some stuff in our life that need to be ripped out. And so demo day is going to have to come in our own hearts, right? And, you know, that's not easy and it's hard. But God, it's there that God begins to do His transforming work where He begins to take some old things out and bring in the new. Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:15. He says, He died, talking about Jesus, He died for everyone so that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. And that's the renovation that God needs to do in my heart. Because I find myself so many times being selfish and living for myself and it being all about me and my needs and what I think God needs to be doing in my, you know, in this church and, and I sometimes get so selfish about that, right? He says, well, when you receive this new life, they will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So then he says in verse 17, therefore, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ, who is in Christ, has become a new person. The old life is gone. The old life is gone. And that phrase is kind of where we get our word archaeology. It's gone. It's buried. It's put away. And a new life. The old life is gone. The renovation project has taken place and a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to Himself through Jesus Christ. Jesus wants to bring true renovation to you today and every day after. There is no limit to how He wants to use you in this new year in 2018. And so as this new year begins, let me just encourage you, embrace what needs to be renovated in your own heart, in your own life, in your own relationships. He wants to renovate you and I so that He can prepare, you know, to renovate and repair us so that He can prepare us for more than we could ever ask or imagine. But before this can begin to happen in our own lives, in our own hearts, there's some things that we need to do in order to be open to His renovation in our own lives. First thing we need to do is we just need to trust. We need to trust God that He can do this renovation in our lives. We need to trust Him for our future, for the days ahead. I love the story in John chapter 4 about the woman at the well and Jesus coming to her. You remember the story? The Samaritan woman was there at the well and Jesus comes and, you know, He's hungry and He's thirsty and He asks for water and He kind of just breaks right through all kind of barriers. He kind of crashes through the gender barrier because, you know, a man shouldn't be talking to a woman in that setting or whatever. And then He just crashes through the race barrier because, you know, she was a Samaritan and he was Jewish and those people hated each other. But Jesus, you know, He just sits down and begins to have conversation with her. And you remember He asked her about her husband? She says, no, you know, and He goes, you know, well, actually you have five husbands, right? And the one you're living with now is not even your husband. So six men in her life, right? But fortunately, she got introduced to the seventh man. And he just begins to kind of sit there and talk to her. And she says, you know, why would you ask me for water? And Jesus answered her. And I love this verse in verse 10 in the Message paraphrase. It says it this way. If you knew the generosity of God. If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, Jesus says, you would be asking me for a drink and I would give you fresh, living water. And I love that. Just if you and I knew and understood the generosity of God and who Jesus really is, we would trust Him and begin to allow Him to do His renovation in our own lives. And some of you have done that. Some of you have had some renovation in your lives, right? And I know because I know your story. I know where you come from and how you've allowed God to reconstruct and renovate your life. I mean, if you knew some of the stories of the people in this room, you would trust God for your future. You would trust Him. If you only knew the generosity of God and who He is, you would be asking Him, God, do Your renovation project in me. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't try to do it in your own strength, But in all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. We need to trust God. Second thing we need to do is we need to repent. This sometimes is a negative word, but really it shouldn't be, you know. But we need to repent. There's some sin struggles in your life, some sin going on in your life that you need to repent from. And repent, you know, it means that you're going in this way, you're involved in this stuff in your life, this kind of stuff is consuming you, you know that it's not pleasing to God, and you turn. You don't just turn 90 degrees, you know, and so you can still see that sin over here and see God with this eye. You know, no, you have to turn completely 180 degrees around. It's kind of like the story that they share in recovery groups. You've probably heard it. It's called The Five Chapters of Your Life. And it says, first chapter, chapter number one, I was walking down a street, and I fell in this big old hole, and it was hard, and it took a long time to get out. Chapter number two, I was walking down the street, and I fell in the same hole, and it was hard, and it took a long time to get out. Chapter number three, I was walking down the street, I see the hole, but I get a little bit close to it, and I still fall into it. And it's taking a long time to get out. Chapter number four. I'm walking down the street. I see the hole, and so I decide, okay, I'm just going to go around the hole. And chapter number five. I decide to go a different direction. We can sometimes live our lives that way, right? We're falling, falling into that sin, continuing to struggle with that sin habit in our lives, and we just keep falling in that hole and and God says, no, you need to go in a different direction. You need to turn and begin to follow me. I love how Tony Evans describes the word repentance. He says it's like you're driving on an interstate, right? And you're going in the wrong direction. You're supposed to be going north towards your home, but you're going south in the wrong direction. And it's okay for a while, right? Because the scenery is beautiful and everything. But, you know, the longer you go in the wrong direction, you know, before long you begin to realize, oh my goodness, I'm getting further and further away from where I'm supposed to be. And so you acknowledge that. And so you say, I got to get off of this direction. And you see the exit sign says exit, a mile and a half. And you get over into the right-hand lane. And you get off of the off-ramp, and Tony Evans calls it the off-ramp of confession, where you acknowledge the sin that you're struggling with, the direction that you're going is wrong, and you confess that to God. And that's not repentance, but it's the beginning of that. It's acknowledging that. But you got to find some way to get back and go in the other direction. And Tony M says, God offers this buttress, this overpass called grace. You receive His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, and you get on the on-ramp of restoration. And you begin to travel in the right direction toward home, where you're supposed to be. And you know, if you think about it, when you're going in the wrong direction, the further you go, it seems like it's a long way. It's a long way, right? It's just a long way. But when you turn back and come over the overpass of grace and get back on the on-ramp of restoration, you get going in the right direction, it seems like it doesn't take as long to get to where you're supposed to go as it did to get to where you were, right? You know why? Because you're going home. You're going to that place that God wants you to be. So as we begin to look and evaluate our own lives, and we acknowledge that there's some renovation that needs to take place in our lives, we're going to need to trust God. We're going to need to repent and turn away from some of those things and begin to allow Him to do that work in our lives and turn toward His will, His purpose for our lives. Paul says in Philippians 3, he says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And third thing we need to do is we need to not only trust God, not only to repent, but we need to fix our attention on God. To fix our attention on God. Romans 12 says, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. A lot of times what we try to do is we try to change the outside first, right? Well, okay, I'll change this behavior. It's never going to work. This is the inside-out kind of renovation project that God wants to do in our lives. He says, so fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. He develops well-formed maturity in you. God's renovation project wants to bring you and I to maturity in our relationship with Him. So as I begin to think about things that I need to allow God to begin to renovate in my life and trust Him and just repent of some of those things in my life, begin to fix my attention on God, the first thing I realized that I needed to do as I stepped in 2018, and I want to encourage you to do, is I needed to refocus my priorities. I needed to refocus my priorities. I need to focus on what I do first. Focus on what I do first. You know, if I see your priorities, they'll show me a lot about, you know, what's important to you. The first thing you do shows me a lot about who you are and what's important to you. But also, the first things you do, the things that you give priority to, has power in your life. They have unbelievable power in your life. The things you give priority to. And so how do I begin to live out my life, to refocus my priorities so that God can begin to do His renovation work in me? First thing I have to do to refocus my priorities, I have to put God first. Just put God first. Listen, if God is in your life, but He's not first, let me just blunt and say this, then He's not in your life. God will not take another place. He wants to be first. He don't want to just be part of your life. He wants to be first. And so I must refocus my priorities and make sure He's first in every area of my life. I read the Bible through every year. I start at the beginning of the new year. And so January 1st, I'm reading Genesis 1:1, right? And Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God..." All right, in the beginning, God. And I know this is kind of maybe taken out of context a little bit, but I just thought, wow, if we could begin to live that out, if that could be kind of our anthem, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Putting Him first in our lives. That's the first commandment. Exodus 20 says it this way, 1 through 3, it says, "And God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods, little g, before me.'" We have to put God first. And then give God, the second thing we need to do is to refocus our priorities, to give God the first of everything. I have an acrostic that I kind of carry around with me with the word first. It helps remind me that I need to put Him first in every area of my life, first in my finances, first in my interests, first in my relationships, first in my serving Him, first in my time. I need to give God the first of everything. I need to put Him first in every area of my life. Sometimes I think we get just focused on money, you know, and, oh, you know, we got to put Him first in, you know, in our money, in our finances, and that's just one part. One part. Leviticus 27 says it this way. It says a tithe of everything. A tithe of everything belongs to the Lord and is holy to the Lord. It's to be set apart to the Lord. Everything. My finances, my interests, my relationships, my serving, my time, everything should be set apart to Him. Deuteronomy says this about the tithe. It says, "The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives." That's really the purpose of that, of us giving. I mean, it's not necessarily about doing things and building things. It's really the first thing about tithing is to remind us that we're putting God first in every area of my life. And so how do we do that? I've read John Maxwell over the years, and this is some of his ways that he's kind of inspired me to give God everything, to put Him first in every area of my life. And so the first thing that we have to do is we have to put Him first in my year. The first of my year. Put Him first as you begin this new year. That's why we do 21 days of prayer. 21 days of prayer and fasting at the beginning of the year, because it's an opportunity for us to put Him first, just to declare to Him that we want Him to be first in our lives as we step into this new year. Just to put Him first. I mean, we're only doing that to declare that God is first. Because here's what I know. If God doesn't show up in 2018, well, then I'm in a mess. We have to put Him first in our year. And we do 21 days because it supposedly it takes you 21 days to begin a habit. But 21 days that we commit to Him to say, God, I'm going to put You first. And we say prayer and fasting because, and we don't highlight fasting a lot, too much, but maybe as you begin this new year, there's something that you need to fast from, something that you need to give up, whether that be food or social media or whatever that might be, so that you can really begin to focus and hear from God and put Him first in every area of your life. And so what is that for you? Begin to pray and ask God, how can I put You first in my year? Second thing is to put Him first in my month. This has a lot to do with scheduling, where you just pull out the calendar and you begin to look at what's going on in this month, and you make sure that He is first priority in every area of your life as you look over your calendar. I love what Bob Goff just recently said. He said, the battles of our hearts are fought on the pages of our calendars. You want to begin to allow God to renovate your heart. You got to give Him the first of your year. You got to give Him the first of your month. Where you begin to say, okay, God, how can I make sure that You're number one every day as we go through this month? So not only the first of my year, not only the first of my month, but also the first of my week. To set aside this day, the Sabbath, to set it apart and make it holy in your life. You ever wondered why the gathering of God's people moved from like a Saturday Sabbath to the Sunday celebration? That we do now, one reason is because the resurrection happened on the first day of the week, so we want to celebrate that. But another reason is that people didn't want to end their week worshiping God; they wanted to begin their week. So it's the first day of the week where we come and we set apart this day as Sabbath, as holy, as only unto God. That we give Him this day, the whole day. We ask God to make it holy in our lives, to as we honor and prioritize this day, this week, the beginning of the week. What would your life look like if you were here 52 Sundays in this year? How would your life be different? How would it be changed if you were here every Sunday this week? I mean, I believe with all my heart that it would be different. It would change if you gave priority to this day. To this day. That as you look through your week, you would say, okay, as a family, we're gonna start every week coming into God's place and with His people and worshiping Him. We're gonna give Him the whole day, putting God first in your week. I had parents that believed in this, and I'm so thankful for the legacy that they've given me in my life. My parents, set apart the first day, Sunday, as only unto God. This was His day, that we, every day, and we just knew this as a family, and as I came up through the different ages of life, I just knew it because that was their heart, and that's what we believed in as a family, that this day was special. It was God's day. An opportunity for us to join with our family and the families around us and to worship Him. And I can remember as you get into a teenager trying to rebel against that a little bit and going, oh my goodness, but I'd want to stay out late at night. And that was okay as I got old and my curfew hour, that was okay to stay out late. But you know what I knew? I'm going to church the next morning. So whether it was 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4, not that late. You can bet that I was going to be at church that morning. We were at I'll just throw this in, maybe not. We were at a senior party one night, and all the seniors wanted to stay over at this one person's house. And And I had my buddy with me. He had ridden to me to the party, and he wanted to stay. And I said, I don't know if I can stay or not. Tomorrow's Sunday, you know. He goes, call your dad, call your dad. So I called Dad about midnight, you know. I'm going, Dad, everybody wants to stay over at the house. All the seniors, it's going to be awesome, Daddy. You know, he said, yeah, sure, Monty, that'd be great. Go ahead. I hung up the phone. I was going, yes. And we were high-fiving each other. I get to stay. In about 3 minutes, the phone rang. And the adult in the house said, hey, Monty, it's your dad. And I went and got him. He said, don't ever call me and wake me up out of a dead sleep and ask me that question when you already know the answer, son. Get your home. We have church tomorrow. And, you know, I'm 18 years old. But I understood that. It's who we were. You know, it was in me even at that time, you know. And I looked over to my buddy and I said, hey, we got to go home. He's going, no, I don't want to go. I said, you riding with me? He goes, yeah, we're going home, you know. We drive all the way. Listen, give him the first of your week. Just try him on this. Set apart this day. The whole day is holy unto him. Watch him begin to do his work in your life. And then finally, give him the first of your day. Every day, I give him the first of my day. My first thoughts are directed to him. The first words that come out of my mouth every day are words to him. And I've shared this before, but, you know, I roll over on my bed, and before my feet hit the floor, I say, God, I want to give you this day. This is the day you have made, God, and I want to give it to you. Give him the first of your day. That's why I think quiet time, spending time alone with God, it's important, I think, to do it in the morning, at the beginning of the day. You say, well, Monty, can I do it any other time? Yep, you can do it any other time, but there's just something about, there's something powerful about the first of the day. I've shared this with you before, a few years ago. It's called the first 15. We didn't come up with this, or I didn't come up with this. First 15, you know, it's just a way to give him the first of our day, to, you know, to give him 5 minutes, the first 5 minutes reading God's Word. Now, I read the one-year Bible, and so that Bible, you read a little New Testament, Old Testament, a Psalms, and a Proverbs. That's about 10 minutes of reading. So if you can't do that, just give him five. Just read the New Testament section, right? Read the Psalms and Proverbs. But just be in God's Word. As you speak to him, let him speak to you through his Word. Just 5 minutes. And then the next 5 minutes, just worship him. If you're my age, you probably don't know what Spotify is. But it'd be really good if you got Spotify. So that you could just, for 5 minutes, plug in a, you could do it other ways, but plug in a worship song and just worship God. One song takes about 5 minutes. Just every day, worshiping your God. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Just one song. And then 5 minutes of communing and having conversation with your God. Just the first 15. Now, I want to encourage you to give him more than that. But start there. As we step into 2018, giving him the first of your day, the first 15. We need to refocus our priorities. It's not going to be easy. When he begins to do this work in our lives, this renovation work of carrying out some stuff in our lives that we know that we need to get rid of that aren't pleasing to him, it's not going to be easy. And we need to be making sure that we are spending and making him the first of every area of our lives so that he can begin to transform us. And here's what I know. It's the principle that if you give him the first of everything, you can expect him to bless the rest. And I don't know why this is. It's just the principle of the first.
You give him the first of your finances, I tell you, he's going to bless the rest of you. He can do more with 90% than you can do with 100% in your own strength. If you give him the first of your time, the first of your week, he's going to bless the rest of it. I mean, he can do more with 6 days than you can do with 7 in your own strength. Expect him to bless the rest. Back to Proverbs 3, it says, "In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes." That's me. "Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of all your crops, with the first. Then your barns will be filled overflowing, your vats will brim over." Refocus your priorities as we step into 2018 so that God can do all that he wants to do in and through you. You know, every year we sit down and we start to calendar, you know, and kind of fill in the calendar. And of course, we know, okay, 1st of January is 21 days of prayer. We're going to do 21 days of prayer. And we look at each other around the table, we're going, "Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Are we doing that again, Monty?" And I'm there with them, you know. I'm kind of going, "Oh, you know, it's because here, this is what happens, all right? Yeah, we got 21 days. It's only just 21 days, right? It's going to get cold. You know, it always gets cold during that span. It's like, "Oh my goodness, I got to get up and get out of here." You sure, Monty, you want to do this again? It's going to be hard. You know, it's not easy to get up and give him that hour. But here's what I know. We started this, and this isn't something that we started. There's churches all over the country that do 21 days of prayer at this time of the year. But we started it when we moved in over there at Little Rock. We had our first 21 days of prayer. And I was sitting in there every day, you know, praying, and, you know, just in the Little Rock area. And I don't know, halfway through the 21 days or whatever, whenever it was, I'm sitting there, and I just feel God impress upon me and just kind of begin to share with me, you know. And I look around that room, and I just felt like, you know, "Monty, I want to see this room just full of families and children and students." And as I sat there, I just kind of looked and began to try to visualize that, what that would look like, how that would impact people over the years. And I just surrendered to God. "God, yes, do this, God." And as I think back on it, you know, and I think about the hundreds of students, the hundreds of people, the hundreds of families that have, you know, that sat in that area over there, that God began to speak into their lives, that changed them forever, that brought them into a, you know, where God used it to bring them into a first-time relationship with him, where they began to really, you know, make their faith their own, a place where families came back together and we're reconciled. So listen, I'm going to be here tomorrow. And if I'm the only one here, it's okay. It's okay. Because I'm committed to giving God the first of this year. John 10:10 says this, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And so let me say this again. Jesus wants to bring true renovation to you today and every day after. There is no limit to how he wants to use you in 2018. There is no place he wouldn't go to free you, to break chains in your life. I mean, he went to the grave, right? He went to the grave so that you and I could live in his grace. And he wants you to live free so that you and I can live out the design that he wants us to be. And so as this new year begins, let's rest in the God who wants fullness in every area of your life, your mind, your body, your soul. And so once again, let me encourage you, embrace Embrace what needs to be renovated in your lives. He wants to renovate you so that He can prepare you to do more than you could ever ask Him, more than you could ever imagine or dream of in your life. But it starts here. Refocusing our priorities and fixing our attention on Him. Allowing Him to begin to do His renovation work in our lives. And if you do that, I promise you, He will begin to transform you and continue to transform you into the person He created you to be. Let's let Him do that this year. Pray with me, please. Father, I thank You so much for the love that You have for us. God, the way You demonstrated that love through the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus, I thank You that You were willing to come and let go of the things of heaven and come to this earth and live here without sin. Allow Yourself to be nailed to a cross and raised again so that, God, we could have forgiveness. We could experience Your grace, Your mercy. So God, as we step into this new year, help us, oh God, to put You first. That in the beginning, God, in every area of our lives. And God, as we do that, begin to do Your renovation work in our hearts and our souls, in our relationships. Begin to transform us, to take out the old and bring in new life. God, to break chains, to addictions, habits that aren't healthy or good for us, God, just to break those and begin to create new life in us because of our relationship with You that comes through Your Son, Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're ready to step into a new year with that kind of commitment, with putting God first in that way, but you've never surrendered your life to Him, you've never given Him your heart, what greater way to start that relationship than to do it at the beginning of a new year? To today say, God, I want to give You everything. To accept and acknowledge that you are a sinner and there's some stuff and messes in your life and that you just want to give those over to Him and ask Him to come in and to forgive you. To believe with everything that you can that He is Lord, that Jesus came and lived a perfect life and died on the cross for you and rose again so that you could be forgiven, so that you could have eternal life. And so believing that and then finally just saying, God, I just commit my life to You. So right now, on this first Sunday of the new year, I ask You to come in and be my Lord, be my Savior. Begin to do Your renovation work in my life. Begin to make me who You want me to be. Just pray that prayer to Him this morning. You can have the assurance that He'll come in, that He'll be your Lord and your Savior, that you'll be His child. And He'll begin to do His transforming work in your life. God, those of us who know You in that personal way as Lord and Savior, God, we surrender everything to You this day. Help us, God, as we walk out of here to put You first in every area of our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.